Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Character Reveal. It's that show where we reveal people's character and have a great time. As always, it's your host, your boy Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the internet. And once again, I am joined by the unique co-host. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Hello, everyone. It's me, Stephanie. You know who I am, I think, after this long. I'm Captain Steph on Twitter. I'm the Snowqueer on Tumblr. I'm some other places.
And we have a terrific guest with us today, a webcomic artist, an overall great person, and from what I can tell, a very funny person. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Hi there. I'm Stan Stanley. I also write under the name Snake Wife, and I do creepy queer comics.
Okay. I'm all about that.
I have no idea where to start with that. I say coyly because I know what you do. Before we get started with all those great words that you said, how are you doing today?
Doing all right. So I'm doing this interview with my cat on the desk, and so right now she's curling up and supervising like comics as I do them, which has been pretty nice in terms of pet ownership. She's a good little supervisor.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. She's got the. It's a super cat.
Diane from HR, super cat.
Superintend cat?
Something like that.
She is doing a perfect job.
Oh, no. Oh, no, I love it. I know that's like an easy pun, but like the easiest puns are the best, really.
You are very welcome on this podcast.
I feel you can learn a lot about a person.
Oh, you're very welcome to be here. If you like puns, you'll fit right in.
I feel you can learn a lot about a person by how they respond to puns.
Exactly. I agree. I'm 100% on board with that. Steph, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Like I said, I worked from home today, so that was... I got Jehovah's Witnessed, which was, I think, actually my first time ever being Jehovah's Witnessed, but...
I didn't know that still happened.
Yeah. It was real tasteless, but...
I thought they got, like... Yeah, I thought they got, like, you know, they went, you know, digital nowadays or something.
They were right at my door this morning, and they asked me if the Vegas shooting made me question if there was a God. And I was like, I can't speak to you. And I closed the door.
See, that's the perfect moment to bust out with... Just, you know, you look them dead in the eye and shake your head no and say, I'm too queer for this, and just close the door.
They put the one foot
in.
Go
on with your day.
Like, actually, we accept that now. Well, that's, okay, well, I didn't deal with that today, so.
The day went up from there, so how are you doing, Dom?
I'm good. I played video games today.
Is that different from usual?
Yeah, because my anger was very tempered. I don't know. It's multiplayer games are an interesting beast. They are quite something. And but I've been doing a good job of being like, oh man, you know what? Shucks. And somehow saying shucks rather than like legitimate cuss words somehow makes you feel better.
Okay, you say that, but I've got like this problem now, where since I'm not swearing around my friend's son, I'm not swearing in like normal life too, so I will be really mad and I'll be like, golly. And it makes it really hard for people to take my rage seriously.
Well, it's better than being fired for dropping like an F-bomb at work, I suppose. It's... Oh, there's always a silver lining.
I guess. But I feel like if you dropped the F-bomb, people would at least respect you still. If you're like, gosh, then no one's like really taking your complaint seriously.
You know, I feel like that's a good tactic to know in case you need to. For instance, if you are taller than a lot of people you work with and you're a little bit, let's say, more tan than a lot of your coworkers, some of your legitimate upsetness might be misconstrued as rage. So when you're like, I want to shed the scary black man trope, I'll just say golly and people won't know what to do after that, but still have like a very angry voice. And I say that jokingly, but it's really something I gotta worry about.
No, and yeah.
And I'm a small guy. I don't think I'm threatening. I'm not threatened by me. Maybe my bad jokes, but nothing I've actually done.
Your puns are threatening.
Oh no, he's gonna keep saying them.
What if he puns again?
Oh, God.
I mean, if that was the case, then I'd say, you know what, you're completely well-founded in that worry, because the puns won't stop if I can keep getting away with them. Enough about me. The listeners know me, though. You do some webcomics. Do you want to start with one of them? Do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about some of the comics that you do?
Sure. So currently I'm working on one called The Hazards of Love, and it's about this non-binary queer Latinx kid who gets sucked into this surreal underworld and has to hustle their way back home to Queens and to their family and to the girl that they love. So that's the one I've got going on right now. And before that, I've done Friendly Hostility way back when. When the internet was younger than it is now. I did Boy Meets Boy. I did Sideways and Other People's Business. So I've been shirking work and shirking school to make comics since I was in high school. And then I put them online.
I feel like that's the way you gotta do it now. We're in the new age. Okay, I guess what made you kind of, I guess we can get the obvious questions out of the way. Why did you decide to start drawing comics versus, let's say, writing a novel or some other kind of expression?
So I do write novels sometimes. I prefer working in comics because I am a control freak. And I... Yeah. Or maybe you could say I'm a frustrated director. I want the audience to sort of see what I'm seeing when I have like a certain scene in my head, or when a certain character says something. I want them to sort of see the expression I imagine that character with. Or to put it bluntly, especially now that I'm experimenting with doing work in color, I want them to see the characters like I see the characters. So for a while, I kept getting fan art of characters who were not white, colored in very white. And so I tried to put in like pages every so often that were in color. And I'm not a good colorist. Like, I'm especially back then, I was trying, but it's a steep learning curve.
Sure.
But yeah, I was like, maybe if I put up a page every so often, people will know that this she's not a redhead. She's a black lady. Like,
that's make it explicit as possible.
Yeah, I realize now that it's a podcast, so people can't see me shaking my head no in horror. But yeah, so you have to make it as explicit as possible, which is why I sort of grit my teeth and started learning to color.
Okay.
But yeah, so control freak. That's why I do comics.
Hey, that's a solid thing. So,
I like that. I mean, I work in publishing IRL, and that's one of the things that, like, book publishing, but like, that's one of the things we struggle with a lot, is trying to make sure that we get as much representation, like when we have characters of color, to describe them that way in like in as organic and often as possible, so that it's there, you know.
I guess the question that I have for you both, since you work in publishing stuff and saying you actually legit just make your characters and put them out there nice and colorful, how do you feel about artists who use the line, well, this is just my expression of them? You see it in a lot of fan art where they're like, I'm not going to make this brown character white, but they're going to look like maybe they haven't seen the sun in a little bit. Or I saw a fan art of the new Powerpuff Girl, like, and like, well, we're going to make her white and blonde and also give her like clovers. I don't know what that was. I don't know why. That must have just been the artist's decision. So I'll let that part slide. But I'm like, this character was very explicitly brown and you made them not brown. So how do you guys feel about that excuse that, well, it's just my interpretation? Air quotes for the video.
So Do you want to go first, Steph, or?
My short answer is that I hate it. especially if it's someone, like, I can let it slide less, or, like, more if it's something that's, like, not defined. Like, I have a lot of feelings, for example, about the decision to make Taco blue in the Adventure Zone graphic novel. But his race is never actually defined in the podcast, so it's okay. Or it's like, it's more okay than, like, drawing Garnet from Steven Universe with, like, long straight hair and light skin. Like,
that's more explicit, because if you would have left the afro on, you could claim style. You're like, oh, I gave her straight hair, like, you know what you did.
How about you, Sarah? Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Artists can say, well, that's my interpretation of a character, and that's valid, but your interpretation is then kind of shitty. And it's especially shitty when it's a character of color and you've opted to whitewash them. And so, again, you can feel free to have that mediocre interpretation, but you gotta ask yourself why you did that. Why you thought this was, quote-unquote, like, a brave artistic choice, or why you felt like... What were you trying to do there? Were you just being lazy? Were you just trying to stir some shit? Why did you do that?
And, like, I feel like you also have to question yourself, like, why is that my interpretation of the character?
Yes.
Like, why was that the default that I went to?
That's legit. Okay. I guess I've seen even on, like, I guess you could call them troll boards. They at least have the intention, like, oh, hey, time to go piss off some SJWs, quote. And it's like, okay, well, they were trying to do that. Like, there's other people that, like, were not trying to do that. And that's very questionable to me that, like, no, I'm open. I'm welcoming. This is just my idea. Like,
this is just my headcanon. Yeah. I really hate when I see that.
The thing with Taco, that is confusing. I think, which one of the Macro boys was like, we cannot make a character named Taco be a brown person, because that would be bad.
It was like a long
I think thing. They all had that discussion.
Yeah, there was a discussion that was had, because they realized that, like, maybe we made this character whose name is Taco, whose life quest at the beginning of the series is to invent the taco, and who, at the beginning of the series, is kind of an idiot who picks up anything that isn't nailed down and takes it. Maybe that's not a character we want to make Latinx. Like,
yeah, that would be...
So I will say...
Like, oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I will say, I admire that of the about the McElroy boys. When they realize that they've done something kind of busted, they're not, like...
They learn from it?
Trying to defend it. They learn from it. They say, oh, we messed up. We're really sorry. We won't do it again. This is how we can fix it, or how we can avoid it in the future. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Agreed.
Because I feel like sometimes, especially with, like, a Dungeons & Dragons podcast, you might have the idea that, like, this isn't going to last. These jokes aren't going to have repercussions later on. You're like, oh, I've made a character that people relate to. We might have to draw this at some point. Uh-oh. That whole first day, I was just being a dick.
Yeah, well, they... I don't know that they were expecting to get as much fan art and fandom as they did, but it's that sort of thing where you kind of never know what's gonna strike a chord with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is interesting. Also, side note, I find it interesting that Rick Sanchez is green as a person, but another story for another day. How do you feel about, because I've seen some gender bend art, which there's problematic elements to that in general. So before we even unpack that, how do you feel about the idea that sometimes people will change the gender of a character for fan art, but then not really keep the essence of that character when they do it? Like, you have big, burly, like, Hercules looking dude. You're like, this is female Hercules, and it's like a cheerleader kind of archetype.
So petite. Yeah, yeah. I admit it. I'm always like, well, why did you do it then? What's the fun in it? Like, it's kind of like... so this is like a weird, out of left field example, but it's like Halloween costumes, right?
Yeah.
Where they're like, all right, here's the ketchup bottle costume. And now for ladies, here's the sexy ketchup bottle costume. The thing is, let me not shame that, because there have been times I've definitely wanted to wear like a sexy ketchup themed dress, but not as a ketchup bottle costume.
What are those times? If let I me also be so bold.
I just realized maybe I shouldn't have said that on a podcast.
Can we be real for a second? I feel like the ketchup bottle costume is just like a crayon that they repurposed. It's the same shape.
Oh, dang. Oh, I think you're onto something there, actually, Dom. I think there may be a conspiracy there. You just slap a different label on it, and it's the same darn thing.
Spirit Halloween, that's how they stay in business.
That explains so much. One year, you know, it's the crayons that are in vogue, and the next year it's ketchup bottles. But yeah, like in that same way, if you want to be like, here, I drew a sexy girl with like a costume inspired by Overwatch's Roadhog. That's cool. Like, you do that. If you're like, here's gender bent Roadhog, and suddenly it's like you said, cheerleader body type with the cute pig keychain or something, then it's like
it always makes me sad, because those two are supposed to be like grotesque humans, and then the gender swap is like these beautiful pristine people, and I'm like, that guy rolls around in dirt and bombs. I mean, that might be somebody's thing. I'm not here to kink shame.
Actually, I would like to see, like, I do like whenever I stumble across fan art of a character like that who's got such a strong character, and you know, people have bothered to do like a thoughtful gender swap, I guess. Mm-hmm. Where a lot of the character's details remain, you can tell it's the same character, not just someone who dressed up inspired by the character.
Mm. Yeah,
sorry, my husband was walking by and I had to wink saucily at him.
It's okay.
It's probably not going to stay in the podcast.
It depends on how it comes through. We accept any and all hellos.
Yeah.
I think we've done a podcast or two where some special guests are in the background, so it's all good.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, let me introduce you to everyone in my household. Here's my husband. Here's my cat.
Get the whole snake wife experience.
See.
Yes.
The snake cat. Snake.
The entire company.
The snake wife, the snake husband.
The reptile house.
The snake cat.
He refers to himself as snake husband now and then on the internets.
That's how it rolls. Nice. That's nice. That's awesome.
Can I ask where the name came from? Is there a story behind snake wife? Because I love it.
Yes, but it's kind of... Thank you. It's like a lot of internet names, it's a ridiculous story.
That's fair.
Let's go.
All right, here we are. So back in the LiveJournal days, my little tagline was girl in snake's clothing, as sort of like a too edgy title, right? And then eventually I became an adult and was like, I feel really weird calling myself girl now. It like makes me go, not really a girl, but you know, woman in snake's clothes also doesn't sound really me right now. There's like this weird mid-20s stage where you're like, I'm not a girl, .. not yet ready for woman. Yeah, I almost went Britney Spears, but I didn't. It was... had to summon my willpower there. But you know, it's weird, you're like trying to find business casual clothing but also trying not to look too frumpy, and this has just become a whole thing. My god, I need like a handler to like get me back to the topic.
This is exactly what this show is about. I mean, we already had a pun string before the show started, so
it was a really good pun string. If you don't leave it in, let me reassure you, audience, it was an amazing pun string.
It was fantastic.
I've always been heavy into like various myths and stories and stuff. And I kept thinking about like Selkies and Crane Wives and how unfair it seemed to me that in these stories it always ended really tragically for the wife in question. Especially because, you know, seals have really sharp teeth and a crane wife can probably peck your eyes out. And so I really liked the sound of snake wife. And I imagined, you know, sort of like a little story coming from that. But then I liked the name so much that I ended up like making it part of my brand. Because you have to name the website something. And so, yeah, I just liked the way it sounded and like I kept it. I did not expect to actually get married one day and have it be like, oh, my snake wife.
Yeah, these things all have a way of working out. It's screen names are weird that way. I think we all go through a couple renaissances, if that's a word.
What was your first screen name?
I'm trying to think.
Oh man, mine was Lady Luthien because I was a Lord of the Rings nerd going way back to AOL logins, like.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. It was...
No, that's delightful. I love it.
The first one I can remember that I had any kind of ubiquity with was DJ Memo. Because I wanted to be like a DJ, the way that... Not like a scratching DJ, but the way that DJ Khaled's a DJ. Or was.
Right.
Which still counts. And just Memo, because I was like, yo, yeah. you're gonna remember what I say. Like, memo pads were cool to me, because that's the kind of child I was. Like, ooh, sticky notes are great. And then it just...
Sticky notes are great.
That's true.
I was going to say, I hope nothing has disavowed you of this notion.
I was disavowed for a while, but then when I got older, I'm like, oh, these are actually functional. They're not just depressing.
So sticky note story. I'm sorry that I have a sticky note story, first of all.
I'm ready.
I'm on board with this.
All right. Once upon a time, I worked in corporate America, and the fact that I can tell this story now should point to the fact that I no longer work in corporate America and never will
hashtag
again.
#blessed.
yeah, definitely. So, at one point, things had gotten pretty bad in the old office, and there was kind of. I don't know if we could call it a Cold War. Things were escalating on either side in that I wanted to be fired and they wanted me to quit. to illustrate the kind of weird stuff that was happening, though, like it's not like stuff that I needed to talk to an HR representative about. It was stuff like, my boss would come in with a box of Pop-Tarts and he'd hand them out to every cubicle except mine and then really loudly ask people, how are you enjoying those Pop-Tarts? Eh? Those are good Pop-Tarts, huh?
That's so petty.
And I just remember the guy in the cubicle next to mine. It was super petty. The guy in the cubicle next to mine is like, what is this? I don't like Pop-Tarts.
Your boss didn't count on the fact that one could still make it to you anyway, just from statistical probability that someone doesn't want a Pop-Tart.
Yeah. And yet, I was like, okay, so this is the type of game we're playing. I hear this. All right, I'll raise the stakes. So, my cubicle was actually right next to his office. And so, I put on my playlist, put in my earphones, and on the work computer, very softly, but loud enough that it was definitely audible, started playing Total Eclipse of the Heart on repeat. And just left it as... I had my earbuds in, so, you know, I was rocking out to my tunes. And let the rest of anyone in earshot listen to Total Eclipse of the Heart. But no one was responding to this. So I had to escalate further, and why am I telling this story? I sound so petty. But all right, now this is it. Let's lean into it.
We're in.
Let's lean into this horrible office story.
Right, I'm on board with this so much.
That's where the post-its come in at Dom. So I'm like, all right, we've got to take this up a level. I start writing the lyrics to Total Eclipse of the Heart on the post-its, and I'm like, all right. The office printer is right here. I'm just going to cover it in Post-its with the lyrics to Total Eclipse of the Heart. I think I have a picture somewhere. I'll send it to you post-podcast. The entire... So because...
That's so good.
In this Cold War, neither of us were willing to back down. The printer ended up covered just completely in Post-its featuring the lyrics of Total Eclipse to the Heart. Not a comment was made, and, you know...
I'm curious what all the other workers thought about, later, like, this Pop-Tart Post-it new economy.
You know, it was weird for them. The guy next to me was like, I actually really liked the song. I didn't mind. But I did wonder if you were going through a breakup.
This is so much.
And that's my Post-it story.
That's fantastic. I'm bowing down.
There's so much in there that I'm like, yeah, I would do that. I would totally do that because I'm also petty and work in kind of corporate America. There's a lot of pageantry. I don't like it.
Well, now you know there's the Pop-Tart option.
This is the nuclear option.
We went
office warfare.
We had to go to the Pop-Tart option. I thought you were going to say you brought in toaster strudels for everybody to one up the Pop-Tarts.
Right.
That would have been such a specific level of petty, too. So did Post-its come up in your comics at all?
Has that inspired the rest of your worldview?
This is about you. I just don't. I don't want people to think that we can't keep on topic, but I totally don't want to keep on topic. So.
I'm like, I'm so sorry, audience. No, no, no. As a person, just, I can't keep on topic. And I'm really terrible as a businesswoman. via the no longer working in corporate America.
It's perfect for this. I mean, we've had episodes where we talk to people about beer for 20 minutes. They weren't beer makers. They weren't professional beer drinkers. It's just, you know, what comes up, comes up.
They were just fans. An option. To be a professional beer drinker.
Let us ponder.
I'd love to actually get one of those people. I would decline,
but it's just like a personal preference. Like 100%, if someone else loves beer, you go for it. Yeah. You take that unlikely option. The unlikely option is always the most fun.
Hey, yeah. there's some good beers depending on what you throw in them. My personal beer line is I didn't drink beer till I had a real beer after college. Because Natty Light makes you think that beer doesn't have a flavor. You might not like beer after that.
Yeah.
There's good beers that they're not for everybody. But I'll tell you what, there's people that love beer that they're not drinking that, and people that hate beer aren't drinking that. So who's it for? Tinfoil hats on.
That's a mystery.
And for what it's worth, you're at least a decent enough businesswoman that I got your card and remembered your card.
Yeah, I mean, there's that.
You're selling yourself. I managed enough.
That, at yes. least.
So you said there were, what, creepy, cute, queer comics. Was that the am I getting those words right?
Well, creepy and queer are right. Sometimes they're cute. I do try to make them cute, and I don't know, I like cute things. But most of the time, they're mostly creepy, and I try to make them funny. Hopefully that works. They're definitely always, always queer.
Hashtag always queer.
That's what we like to hear.
I don't think basically. I don't think I could keep that aspect out of my comics as hard as I tried.
I think that's fair.
Like... And here's the thing, I kind of don't want to try. I'm like, nah, there's lots of straight comics out there. Yeah. There's lots of queer ones, too. I'm happy to add to the queer pile.
Yeah, absolutely. There are significantly more straight comics than there are queer ones. So really just, you know, stacking things on top, like, trying to get close. Yeah. Building your molehill next to the mountain, like.
If I know anything about fandom, unless it's explicitly straight, it's potentially queer. That's the motto.
And even if...
Even then, sometimes. Yeah, exactly. See, Steph has been in fandom for a while and knows that it's like, nah, all you need is a little bit of determination.
See, I grew up, the fandoms I grew up in were always, there was no 0 to 90, it was always, they were always 100. And my parents didn't raise me to be a homophobe. So good job, mom and dad. So if I saw like, if I saw like Slash stuff, I would just say, I don't like this particular ship. It doesn't make any sense. And they're like, what about these two guys? I'm like, that's fine. I have no issue with that. They're like, wait.
Okay.
Like, no, you don't hate gay people? I'm like, no, I just don't think that makes sense. Those two, there's a... I'm a ship snob.
I'm dying because that's me too. Like, I feel you so hard, Dom, because, like, this is my issue. I'm like, no, I'm like talking to myself. I'm like, Stanley, just let people like things.
No, they're wrong.
No one has to know that you're like, they're wrong. They're so wrong, Dom. But I can't say anything because I just want people to be happy. And who am I? I'm just an old goat on the internet being like...
Hashtag good.
Being like, all right. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Don't look a gift goat in the cart.
I was so mad at Overwatch fandom. They're like, guys, Tracer Widow forever. I'm like, that's dumb. They hate each other. Stop being bad. And they're like, no, Tracer can have a girlfriend. I'm like, she can have 10 girlfriends. Just none of them are Widowmaker. And then, bam, Christmas comes. Tracer has a girlfriend. It's somebody else. And I'm like, ooh, get dunked on. Drop that shit.
Yep, it's not Widowmaker.
That's petty of me. That's petty, but so it's not homophobic. Actually,
a little.
Go ahead.
It's a little petty, but also I don't blame you because I have such a thing against fan-made ships where it's like, they hate each other, therefore they're secretly in love. I'm like, nah. No. What if...
But what if not?
What if not?
Yeah, like...
And I feel
every
like
now and then it's all right, but every now and then you're like, can they just be queer and happy? Does it have to be hateful?
What about the two people who are friends? What if their friendship grew into a relationship and was healthy? Friends to lovers is my favorite thing, in part because it works best in real life too. Like,
wait, I really like this person. If I was with this person? That checks out.
What if we were smooching? Yeah, exactly.
What if we did all the same fun things, but also smooched? Yes.
So legit. Now you're talking about, like, millennial fanfic where people are happy, and that's just, like, that's its own fanfiction.
It is. It's like, it's our wish fulfillment. It's like, oh, yeah, they've got a modestly sized apartment.
Whoa. Don't get too kinky on the podcast. here's
No, we're going full they've got a cat and maybe a dog too, you know?
Yeah.
They met on OkCupid and actually met in real life. I'm just kidding.
Had a meaningful conversation and then actually went on a date afterward.
People are like, I don't believe you. I believe I believe the instant transmission and teleportation, but I don't believe that part.
Oh God, OkCupid. OkCupid is adventurous.
Yeah.
Think of all the fake stuff, fake properties we have, and if you had met on OkCupid, people would still say, I don't believe it. I believe the time travel,
yeah.
But...
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, jeez. Have you ever read fanfic of your own work?
Sometimes. Yes, the answer is yes. I have read some fanfics.
Any of them?
I don't know if any are... Sorry?
Were any of them, like, stand out, like, pretty good, or are they all just, like, kind of... Good stuff, thank you.
You know, like, way back when I used to be, like, a fic snob, but now I'm just like, nah, someone put some work into it. You know, someone was like, I'm gonna take X amount of time and write these two characters touching butts. I'm like, that's beautiful. Thank you.
Like, touching each other's butts or touching their butts to their butts?
Oh, it depends on the fanfic, Dominic.
Sometimes, are we, like, Ren and Stimpy, like, the butt dance thing? Or, like, what do we do? That's a deep cut. What the heck's going on? I never watched that show.
I was gonna say, wow. Also, you know that happens in real life, too. You're, like, just in the kitchen, you're like, oh, hey, it's the partner. Bumps butts. Yeah, yeah. Or, like, you're in bed at night, and you're facing away from each other, but you still want to... It's like
point of being human a butterfly, contact.
Except the butts touch. Yeah.
You can't spell butterfly without butt. Haul at you, boy, all day long.
Hey.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
It's one of the, that's one of those things that feels, like, realistic, but I would... Because I'm a garbage writer, I would never think to write that into something, even though I'm like, I've lived this experience, it's totally real. But if I read that, I'd be like, who does that?
Yeah.
Someone's over my shoulder like, you do that. Like, get out, stop.
See, I admit, like, that's like my favorite things in fanfics, when like, there's suddenly... I really like bad sex and like awkwardness in fanfics. Not like badly written, but like when... the characters are just two garbage cans on fire trying to make things work, and you know, it ends with someone like breaking a priceless vase and being committed to a host club or something. Oddly specific example, but you know what I mean. I'm like, yes, I enjoy these two garbage cans on their TV show or video game. Now I would like to read about them being garbage cans still in their attempts to woo each other.
Yes.
Favorite garbage can pairing?
Oh, God. That's so sudden.
Put you on the spot.
I'm going to have to outsource. Yeah, give me a second. Hey, husband. Who's my favorite pairing right now? Oh, I don't know.
The real question.
Perfect answer.
Just in general. He has to think about it, too.
That's fair. I'd have to think about it, too.
Yeah, general media. I'm like, what fanfics do I read? I'm like, what have I read lately? I haven't read a lot lately. I've been busy. I have, like, my cheat sheet on... Homestuck. My husband called me out and is like, Stanley, you're a dirty Homestuck. Just
a bit. Like,
anything there.
If it makes you feel
that's
better.
That's how we met. Like,
both of the things, all of the art hanging in my bedroom is Homestuck art, because my roommate was like, don't hang that in the living room.
Oh my god.
Please don't.
That's hilarious. Listen, I'm going to embrace my Homestuck trash here, because I did like it. I loved it. I was like, this is a weird ass comic, and I like what it's doing, and I like the people who are making derivative fan works out of it. This is all quality garbage.
Yes.
Look, yeah.
So it's your favorite trash fire Homestuck show.
Got it.
Or meaningful.
It's the one that became canon. I feel like I have to, like, spoiler alert in case someone is going to read Homestuck. But also, if they're listening to this in past the year of our Lord 2017, either they're gonna read, they've already read Homestuck, or they're never gonna read Homestuck, and that's okay. So Dave Cat.
Yes.
Like, I wasn't into it until it became canon, and then I was like, oh, this is amazing.
Yep.
Oh, they're two train wrecks who have a lot of love.
They're so bad at being people, but they're so good.
They're so bad at being
exactly.
people.
Exactly. But they're really good at being there for their friends.
Exactly.
Solid.
They're very good at supporting other people, despite the fact that they are trash fires themselves.
Steph, do you have a favorite trash ship?
In general, or from Homestuck?
In general.
Oh, God. I mean... I'm fandom old, Dom. I've been...
I'm aware.
More than two-thirds of my life have been spent in fandom at this point.
See, that's the difference between you and me, is that you've been in fandom culture. I've just been in a very narrow, singular fandom my whole life, and it has shaped my worldview. And I'll
probably
I'll never get those years back. Nor that one.
Probably like the worst in terms of like just, like, this is purely, like, an id-based fandom, and I have no claims to this being an unproblematic ship, but I fucking love
I'm so excited for this
TV show, and I ship Hannibal and Will so hard. They are such a mess, and I was very, very in love with them. Also,
I mean, to be fair, even their actors kind of shipped it.
Yeah, the showrunner shipped it, like... Yep. It was a thing. So that's probably, like, my most trash fire pairing is, like, here is a serial killer and the man he tried to murder but also really feels a lot of weird affection for. Like,
so instead he psychologically tortures this man.
Yeah, so, you know.
But what if...
But what if they were...
But what about coffee shop and you, though?
Exactly. But what if murder husbands, like...
They say everybody's one bad day from being a supervillain. What if they never had that day? They'd still be pretty much the same, minus the murders, like...
What if Hannibal Lecter was just a psychiatrist with a passion for cooking?
Look, I mean...
What if he was a vegan?
Yes!
That changes everything.
Like, imagine, like, a vegan vampire, like, they're real conflicted about it, but they're like, guys, like, I need blood, but that's not cool, they're alive. And then Dracula's like, I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, we've been doing this for millennia.
It's like, so all I have to say about that is a scenario where all you need is some freaks on the internet. Because if you're like, hey.
It's ethically sourced.
So this is going to sound weird. Like, basically, just have to look around the weirder corners of FetLife. And be like, all right, so who's into blood drinking?
Is that sustainable?
This is actually probably not true. I think they've got, like, laws against soliciting for blood drinking nowadays.
Probably. But this is an AU where vampires are real, so it's like the farmer's market. There's true, just, true. Like, this guy, like, this is old Jim's
blood.
This is
my free range human blood. We let them walk around Prospect Park before we took the blood.
But they knew. They knew.
Because you know it's in Brooklyn.
Oh my God. Yeah, yeah. Oh man, speaking of stupid things that are delightful in Brooklyn. So, actually, and I use the term stupid with, like, the greatest of affection here. This last weekend was the Brooklyn Botanic Gardens Chili Pepper Festival.
Oh boy.
And... I went and I loved the hell out of it, and it was everything I wanted in a Chili Pepper Fest, minus a dude walking around in a Chili Pepper costume. I was really disappointed at the lack of that. That was not there. And I feel that that's the only thing that would have made, like, the experience complete.
That has to be at a Spirit Halloween, like, with the rest of the condiments. Like,
right? And, you know,
it didn't even have to be a sexy Chili Pepper
has been going
costume.
On for 25 years. Exactly. They've had 25 years to, like, get a spirit costume.
Or at least, just, like, a repurposed banana.
It's an investment at this point.
Exactly, a repurposed banana.
Just put a green hat on and now you have a banana pepper.
Like, I'm a banana pepper. It's peanut butter pepper time. Peanut butter pepper time.
Oh, wait. Dom, now you have to tell the story about the peanut butter and the chili jelly.
Oh, yes.
Peanut butter wings. All
right, I'm listening.
I don't think I've ever told that on the podcast.
It's so good.
I went into Fridays, I was at a wedding, I was going to a wedding on the other side of the state. Pennsylvania is deceptively large, no one ever considers that, but I'm waiting there with my brother and my dad, and we're like, you know, better start drinking now, because it's going to be fun to be drunk later. Let's go to Fridays? It was a Fridays across the street. So we roll in there, and we're like, give me them infinite apps, unlimited apps, because I just want to eat apps all day. Just the chicken, though, because I don't really deal with pot stickers or cheese stuff, and this is the least cheesy thing on the menu. So we're getting, like, the barbecue sauce. Right. We're getting, like, there's, like, some apple cinnamon one. Actually pretty good. Sounds bad, pretty good, but mostly barbecue. And I'm like, what's this peanut butter and jelly one? Like, this seems odd. So I'm thinking in my head, there's a way to do this. I can figure this out.
Yeah.
So we're like, me and my brother stumbling over words and to trying to ask the waitress or waiter, and my dad's like, can they just try, like, a sample of one? They don't need a whole rack of them. We're not trying to take them. We just want one each. Okay. So they come back with just two.
You just want to know what you're getting into.
A tasting sampler of our infinite, from our infinite apps.
Well, so, because we, well, we asked them, and they're like, it's not very good. Like, I heard before that they weren't very good. I'm like, that's, but the person's like, but I'm also very picky. And I'm like, okay. So we just get one, and, mm-hmm. and they bring out two boneless chicken wings, just dripping with, like, this brown goop. And I'm like, that's not the color of a peanut butter I've ever seen, nor a jelly. What the hell is this? And it looked like it was bleeding ever so slightly. But I'm like, oh, probably no. jelly, because it looks like a little pepper fleck. So my brother, we're smelling it. It smells terrible. Doing the little thing where you tap it and touch to your tongue. I'm like, just tastes like peanuts, but not good, but not bad. Just peanuts. So my brother puts in his in his mouth. And, like, has, like, this guttural reaction. And I'm like, what's wrong? Was it, like, hot? He's like, oh, it's hot. So I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Of course it's hot. They just made it. So I get this.
Oh, no.
So I get this. And I don't know what the smallest measure of distance or time is, but, like, the nanosecond that it was a nanometer onto my taste buds, my brother drops it out of his mouth and says, that's the worst thing I've ever had. So now it's in my mouth, and I'm getting hit with a swirl of flavors that I've never understood in my entire life. And I'm wondering, what the hell is this? And, you know, toxic masculinity is a problem, but sometimes it's hilarious. So you're like, I'm a man. I got to finish this. And my dad's like, just spit it out. And I'm like, nah, I want to see if it gets better.
Got to swallow that mouthful.
So I was like, got to chew it, because maybe the mixture with the chicken makes it taste differently.
No.
No, it didn't. So I finally finished this, and I'm the kind of person I am. I've definitely had worse things in my mouth before. But I swallow this, and I immediately just start chugging Yingling to get this flavor out of my mouth, and it's not going anywhere, because peanut butter likes to stick around. It's just staying. Yes. And it's also hot, and I have no clue what's going on, and I'm just confused. I'm like, how did they screw up peanut butter and jelly? So the manager comes around, because he's just doing his business. He's like, hey, how was your meal? I'm like, it was 99.9% awesome. I don't want my money back, so I just want your honest opinion. Are these, like, a joke item? He's like, no, they're serious.
Is it like the Bernie Bot's every flavor beans? He's like, no. Boneless
wings. They're not that bad. I'm like, what is this? He's like, it was Thai pepper sauce and pepper jelly. So I was thinking, peanut butter and grape. Mm-hmm. They're like, haha, gotcha, pepper jelly. So I got my friend to eat them at a later
date. That's a very different flavor profile.
And peanut butter and jelly itself could have worked. Crusted peanut butter dipping in jelly sauce could have worked.
Yeah.
That's my story. And but if they were still there, I recommend everybody try them, because it's interesting, but it's not good. But don't go don't go expecting a good time.
After twice the worst thing I've ever put in my mouth. But everyone should try them at least once.
What's, like, the vomit jelly bean? Shocked that it's correct.
That was actually going to be, like, my follow-up question, did you immediately try to get other people to try it? Because there's, like, this thing when you taste something so bad that you need someone to, like, sympathize with, right? You need to share the experience.
That's the first thing I did when I got back to this side of the state. And then I actually got some people to try it, and they had fun, too. It was awful. But it was fun.
So they agreed.
Suffering all around.
One friend said it wasn't that bad, and I looked at him like, you're being tough. You're being tough, because it's awful. All that aside, sorry to derail about that.
No, that was a really high-quality derailing. Thank you.
So other than that, how was the Chili Pepper Festival? I'm kind of sad I missed it. I like spicy things.
I'm like super not being ironic or messing around here. I freaking loved it. Like, I walked around trying all the hot sauces. And so here's my thing. I am from Juarez, Mexico. Mm-hmm. And so I always tell people, because they're like, oh, Mexico. And they're like picturing like deep Mexico. And no, this is a border town. So
anything else you want to tell the listeners about your comic before we jump into the completely off-topic section?
Let's see. So I wrote this comic because I do really like YA adventure-type comics. And I really wanted to do something like that for a non-binary Latinx kid. And I know that's, like, really, like, some people will be like, that's oddly specific. But here's the thing. It actually freaking isn't. It actually is not completely off the wall to be like, there's some kid in Queens who doesn't really know what their gender is and just knows that they really like pretty girls. And,
I mean, fair.
You know, if, yeah, like, I know these kids, like, they're not bad kids. And I feel often, especially, like, in the past few years, it's been so exhausting to see kids who are 14, who are 15, be treated like adults when it comes to things that if they were white, they'd be called just, you know, just kids messing around. Hell, even like 32-year-old white dudes get called just boys being boys.
Listening to the press around like Trump Jr., like,
Christ,
he's just a kid finding his way. He's a grown ass man.
Exactly, he's a grown ass man. And here's the thing, the reason I get so like angry about it is we do not afford youth of color that. We don't let them be kids. We don't let them be stupid fuck-ups. And here's the thing. When you're a teenager, you heck up a lot. You heck up so much. And
yes.
It's just really frustrating that what on a black Latinx kid is stealing a car on a white 23-year-old is, oh, he just got drunk and tried to impress a girl. You know, boys will be boys. And I'm like, really? I'm sorry, I went off on this rant, but this rant is one of the reasons why I'm writing this comic, because we've got kind of a hecked up, occasionally stupid kid, but who's also smart, who's also actually a fleshed out person with feelings, who's just trying to get by and trying to, in the case of this story, not die in this surreal underworld that they've been dragged into, where humans are classified as edible or inedible for the time being. And that's...
Okay. Feels a little on the nose. In a way.
Like, I've tried not to make it too heavy with metaphor, but it's pretty weighed down by metaphor here and there. Hopefully the story shines through that.
That's the good stuff, though.
Yeah, it's one of the rough things about like writing from an experience is that if I write a story that's even remotely set in reality at all, like mm-hmm. even on the vague basis, and the character is anything other than a cis white male, you either mm-hmm. have to act like that society is past that, or it's going to come up in some sort of way if they have any meaningful discussions.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it is nice to see, like, fiction that's from the future where it's like, well, of course this person wasn't judged on, like, their race or sexuality. We legitimately are past that, and we also talk about how we are past that.
I like that,
too. There might be other ills in the world. Like, maybe we have a rational fear of robots because they tried to kill us all this one time, but it's not their fault, for example. But if I write a story about a black kid, I might not try to put a metaphor in it, but those things will be in it just out of that's the necessity of life I live. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kitty.
Yeah.
I totally see where you're coming from on. That's really cool. That's I like when people have, how about I say it, like power behind their work. So very good stuff. Yeah.
And I like when people like, I appreciate the need for contemporary fiction that deals with those kind of issues, but I also am desperate to see more fantasy and like speculative fiction that deals with the real world issues as well as like themes based on them. So
yeah,
I love that.
Like 100%. And that's the thing, that those aforementioned queer non-binary Latinx kids from Queens deserve to see themselves in a fantasy comic, in a comic where they get to have adventures and things will be scary, but like from day one I haven't like
not lied scary or in made the way a their secret everyday of it. Life is.
Yeah. And from like day one, I haven't made a secret. The comic has a happy ending. I'm like spoiling that for everyone right now, and I'm happy to do so. Like, I'm like, you don't have to worry about, this is not going to be a dead lesbians story. This is not going to be, things are going to be scary, but it's adventure scary. It's a little bit horror story scary, but it's not going to be, I hope at least, it's not going to be leaves you with a bad taste in your mouth scary.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It's not like grim and hopeless. It's just
yeah,
scary.
Get your blood racing.
I mean, there's still
your adrenaline pumping.
Like an infinite amount of ways that can end. Even if it's like, hey, it's gonna be a happy ending. I'm like, that doesn't spoil anything. That just makes me want to get to the end now.
Well, thank you.
So one quote that I saw online, and I don't know if this person was just exasperated or if they were like being like Twitter ignorant. But, like, they saw somebody saying, like, oh, man, where's your message in this? And it was a black guy, and he's like, look, man, I understand the need to be woke, but sometimes I just want to see superpowered niggas punching each other, and I think we should get that. And
yeah, exactly.
It was like, yeah, we do want to have social stuff, but, like, how, like, it sucks that every message, every comic with a person of color has to have something about that. So even though I said the metaphors will be there, it is nice to say, like, oh, those two can just go Super Saiyan.
They just happen to be, like,
other colors. It's fine.
I think the key to a story like that, too, is that the story isn't about, you know, and now a special episode dealing with, you know, real life issues. It's like real life issues come up. They are part of the character. But the story is about superpowers.
Yeah. Even that, is, I think, is a nice, refreshing, escapist level of things.
That's some shit.
I just want to see a black sword with a keyblade. That's all I want. Is it so hard, Disney and Final Fantasy? Just like, give me a black person with a keyblade, like, in the main just games. One. Not the just side one. Crap, because I'm not playing 15 games about Mickey Mouse in a robe. Like, it's not that serious. Sorry, that was just pent up energy.
Sorry. There was a lot built up behind that.
No, my door just creaked ominously. It was very exciting for me, as I do like spooky things.
It was very nice. Also, we need like a Cartoon Network crossover in like Kingdom Hearts, but with Cartoon Network and instead of Final Fantasy. It's just Mega Man people. Yay, let's make it. Steph, do you want to? Should we do the question all section right. and get a couple of those in?
Let's do a few.
Okay. Let's get some questions.
We do this thing at the end, where it's called our lightning round. It's not a lightning round.
Okay,
it's
good. I was about to panic.
There's no rapid fire response expected, and if we go down a rabbit hole with one of the questions, we welcome that adventure.
Okay, never good to know. But let's go on some adventures.
We're on like our 50th one of these, and we still haven't nailed down a better name.
No, it's all right.
So,
Steph, I'll let you do the honors of the first question.
Okay. Let's start with my favorite, which is, if you could cross over any two pieces of media, what would you cross over?
Well, obviously, we've already talked about My Little Pony and the Saw franchise. No, that's not a real answer. That's not a real answer. I'm sorry.
I was
going to
say, let's call up crossover appeal and see what they think.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry about... Actually, no, I've got a real answer, which is Pushing Daisies and Hannibal.
Yes.
I just want you to imagine Hannibal filmed in the style of Pushing Daisies. I'm like, Brian Fuller.
Oh, my God.
You missed a chance there.
Just like that same, like all of the Hannibal things happening, but instead of like that, like grimdark, like Instagram wash aesthetic, like just everything is aggressively bright.
Yep. Aggressively patterned.
I love it.
There's a lot more pastries.
Ned is like, what's in this pie? Oh God, Ned eats the pie.
Well,
Ned accidentally brings something back to life.
See, I feel it could have been delightfully macabre. Oh no, where's everyone?
Oh, we're here.
Did we get...
Are there?
Oh, here we go.
Cut out for a second.
Sorry. I said it's delightfully macabre, and then you both disappeared, and I was horrified that I'd caused that somehow.
You killed us.
I was like, damn it, I knew pushing daisies
and
Hannibal
was
too much.
That was the pale. We were like, nope.
we were good with My Little Pony Jigsaw, but it was...
My little Jigsaw was fine, but...
My Little Saw 3D. Don't go see Saw 3D. If there was a Netflix original show or movie about you, who would you want to play in a movie?
I was so horrified at the prospect. I didn't even listen to the rest of the question at first. All right, here's the thing.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. I would want to be animated because I feel that's kind of the only way. I'm kind of like, there's not a lot of actresses that look like me. I'm a chubby Latina and I've kind of got a weird face. So
it's a very nice face.
Thank you. I kind of feel like animating me would be the only way to truly like convey my essence.
Okay. Then who do you pick as a voice actor if it's not yourself?
Mila Kunis.
Solid.
I don't know if that's a very good choice or not, but a drunk girl who was hitting on me once, patted my face and was like, "You're like a chubby Mila Kunis." So.
What? I don't think I would have ever been
a go-to
for anything,
girl. I will accept that compliment.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Solid. Okay.
So the follow-up question, who would you want to play in a show or movie?
If you could play any character.
If you were the actress.
Okay, so the thing is, I'm a really bad actress.
That makes it even better.
Like, I want to be good at it, but I'm like, is there scenery to chew? All right. Hello, everyone. It is I. Looks at hand. The inspector.
Grandmama. It's me, Anastasia.
Basically, that's my level of acting and subtlety. Who would I want to play in a movie? Huh?
It can be another actor or actress. It can be a biopic. If it's
Lifetime,
you don't
even
have to look like him.
Right? So, it's hard because, I'm the kind of nerd that
Matthew
LARPs.
McConaughey.
Oh my god, Stephanie. Nice.
I didn't hear what you said, Steph.
Oh, I said as Matthew McConaughey in his life story.
What?
All right.
McConaughey before he paid me to.
I just, basically anything
you were
where people
about
would...
LARP.
Oh, I said I'm a nerd who LARPs, so I already do a lot of acting, and I like specifically pick my characters to be okay character-wise if, like, I overact. It's the kind of LARPing where you're like, all right, here's my character, and I'm gonna just, like, play them in real-life situations or whatever the storyteller throws at us. So it's not so much boffer as, like, sitting around debating politics as, like, a single werewolf dad who's just trying to get back out there.
I love it.
That's the Dream Daddy sequel.
Basically, right? See, that's all Dream Daddy needed, cryptids. Right?
Man.
If there was Dream
you
Daddy...
You cut out.
Oh, I said that's what Dream Daddy needed, cryptids.
Yes.
I think it's in the DLC, right? For Halloween?
Oh, man,
that
that'd be awesome.
Familiar.
Will there be? Please.
With the
right?
The cult stuff. I don't know.
Give me the
Snowball
cult
here.
Ending.
Steph, what's the next one?
If you could have any superpower for a week, what superpower would you pick?
Like, so, I'm
coloring
like,
comics.
God, if only. I'm like, we're talking about superpowers, not miracles here, Steph. I don't know, like, I don't want to be boring and be like invisibility or something like that. But also I could get really creative with some of like the basic ones.
We already have that superpower.
Oh, sorry, that hit too close to home. All right. I feel like I could do some really cool things with teleportation. Like, use it in unusual ways.
Solid.
Yeah.
Nice. I would use teleportation to be on time. Exclusively. I'd still be late.
For 1 week, Dom would be on time.
No.
I was going to say, you're thinking you'd be on time, but you're not counting. Teleportation can't help you with, like, prep time. You gotta get the face ready, gotta pick out the outfit.
Oh yeah, I would just even wake then, up you're even like, later and still be late.
You're like, I can teleport instantaneously, so I'm just gonna sleep in. And that's how it gets you.
But the gas
not me,
savings.
Though. I might be robbing banks. I mean.
Just teleport into the safe and then out of the safe.
Right,
and then
it's
maybe
so
one
easy.
Day your student loans are paid off. dream the impossible dreams. The real superpower is a debt-free future.
Well, one day the solar punk future.
It's Death Note, but when you write someone's name, you just get half their money.
Like, I wish, actually, like, can I changed my mind. Can I, like,
steal that?
Can I have, like, a notebook where whatever I draw becomes real? But, like, a good version? Like, I feel I have to qualify that and not end up with, like, the
not
world's
like
shittiest just paintbrush.
It's not like the magic pencil from SpongeBob.
Right.
Like,
it's like, no, we can't accept this money. It's a stand dollar. You can tell because of the cross-hatching.
Okay, well, I draw a machine that lets you accept
like
it. How about that? I feel like that power is a lot more useful when you can actually draw. Unlike me. I would
Yeah, both of us would be screwed.
Yeah.
I'm going to draw someone
gonna
who can draw better than me.
Like, I want to be a weenie, too, and be like, I want a notebook, and whenever I write someone's name, they have, like, a nice day, and their student loans are magically paid off.
I would just feel, like, obligated to just, like, sit down writing everyone's name and be like, I just want people to be happy.
Hey, this is America. We'd find a way to still ruin it. Don't worry. You can do that guilt-free. Oh, now I'm sad again.
All right. Next question.
Yeah. How about, are you familiar with Avatar: The Last Airbender?
Yes.
What kind of elemental bender would you be?
Fire.
And why?
Because I like fire is okay. Is
yeah,
the
that's
what I was going to say. let's be honest. I'm not saying that metal bending isn't cool, or that water bending isn't cool. Or, all right, maybe I am. I don't know. But you know, there's something to the idea of being able to light a candle from across the room.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's solid.
Yeah,
and also like fire bending. Like I personally would go water bending, but like, I accept that with water bending, unless you're like bloodbending and getting freaky, like you gotta have water with you to do that. Like,
yeah, that is
firebending. Like, yeah. You could just do that.
I would like to think that if you're a skilled enough water bender, you could just pull water out of the air.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so powerful that I just pull it out of the.
Like, think about it, like a really muggy New York day.
It's humid. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's.
Don't even have to try really hard. Just suddenly there it is. And you can punch someone with it.
Just make it, just to make it less humid in the subway stop would be enough.
Does water
bending? I don't even need to punch anyone with it.
Not water
Never mind,
bending.
I changed mine.
Does that include sweat bending?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Because, like, imagine you're in a con and it's just all sweaty in the air. You could just, like, take that and just get it out of there, you know? Just.
Oh God, where does it go? Where does it go, Dom?
No, you throw it outside. You just throw it outside and let it rise up. It's better than being on your face. Because that happened to me, and it wasn't a good time.
Dom mistakenly went. Was it on purpose or by accident? Went to the rave at an anime convention once.
I didn't go to the rave. I was with you guys. I came back to the Homestuck panel at ColossalCon, And I had noticed at this convention my face was greasier than normal. I'm like, what's going on? Like, I'm not eating worse. I'm not hot. I'm not that sweaty. But my face is consistently greasy. And I couldn't figure it out. But when we came back, I saw a guy just walking around with his shirt off, steaming. Just like, I saw a man walk out of the rave and steam. A
steamy man. Oh, no.
And I looked up and I'm like, I was like, it is a little, I thought it was a little bit cloudy in here, but I assumed it was like a smoke machine. And then, unlike our president, I understand the water cycle. And I'm like, that water's got to come out of the air at some point. Oh my god, this isn't my sweat on my face. And so bending water, I would have to just take that and just put it outside.
Just take it and push it somewhere else.
So yeah. Damn. But I would be an airbender anyway, so I couldn't do that. But, you know.
That con also is set is it takes place in an indoor water park, so I think it's just more humid and warm in the building to begin
with.
That
makes sense.
So like it's just a dangerous starting point.
But seeing
for a weekend,
to be,
he was
packed with people.
To be fair,
Steph, he was steaming.
Like,
I know, but I'm saying like it was easier for him to steam than it would have been at, like Ohio Con in January.
You think that?
I mean,
and you should
any
be,
con
right?
with a rave, like,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Glow stick dance.
You're taking
fault.
Risks.
The biggest danger is just seeing how poorly people dance.
Oh, yeah.
That's why they turn the lights off.
Yep. They hide their shame.
I'm gonna throw up.
I'm fine. Ahem.
Let's do one more. Steph, do you have any favorites you want to pull out?
Sure. Do you have a favorite candy?
The all of
we
them.
We haven't played the coolest one for a
oh,
while.
Oh, man.
The all
okay.
of them.
No, here's the thing.
And
so,
if it helps narrow it down, do you have a favorite candy that's, like, considered, like, a shitty candy, like peach rings or, like, grandma strawberry hard candies or something like that, that, like...
Whoa, are you calling peach rings shitty?
No, because I fucking love peach rings.
Okay.
But I know that right. I am judged for my love of peach rings by other people.
Well, I don't know who's judging you, but they're wrong.
They're wrong.
They're super wrong.
They're very wrong.
I've never seen somebody consider eating half a bag of peach rings a good idea after they did it. Because I've done it before, and it was a good idea when I started, but it never turned out to be a good idea when I was done.
Yeah, that's legit. Mm.
Such a specific
or like you know like chocolate features. Versus fruity candy like there's so many options
right
but yeah so I was going to say actually so my favorite candies are the ones I grew up with in Mexico and now finding them I'm like lucky I live in New York because I can go to like the bodegas in Brooklyn and like sometimes I will luck out and they'll have like random obscure candy from my childhood and then I buy them all. And my husband's like, why do you have an entire bag of Arco Iris cookies? And I'm like, don't judge me. This is my life now.
You're like, this is going to last me the rest of the year. And then like next week, you're like, time to go back to Brooklyn.
Oh, Steph, I never say this will last me an entire year because I know. I know.
You accept. you know who you are as a person.
Yeah, I made my peace with it.
It's like serving size, about 22 servings. I'm like, you mean about 22 minutes? Because
right?
I'm going to eat that whole bag in 22 minutes.
Yo, the secret is we're adults and we can do whatever the heck we want. And so we can eat an entire box of candy and we can eat that bag of peach rings. Whether or not it's a good idea, doesn't matter. We can and still will do it.
Well, a wise man anyway. Once told me you can bounce out a whole entire bag of... like sour straws with one carrot. I was at Wise
that makes
Man,
sense.
And that's my strategy. One carrot versus a bag of candy. It's not you're not gonna be healthy.
As a scientist, I agree.
I thought you were gonna like line up some like reason that like that would like negate like the sour sugar like hole in your mouth that you've just burnt.
Oh no,
but, like...
that's in there. There's nothing that can fix that.
That's there forever.
Look,
you have a tongue piercing now. Get used to it.
We're closer to getting Kingdom Hearts 3 released than we are figuring out how to stop burning your mouth on sour candy. Which is to say, it's never coming.
Yeah. No, that's the price we pay.
The only way to win is to not play at all.
What kind of life is that?
Exactly. If I took anything, the only thing that we should take away from Orson Scott Card is that, like, you know what? You can eat sour candy and not burn your mouth. There's a third option. You can forget all his other lessons, but that's the one you should stick with. That's exactly what Orson Scott Card said. Don't burn your mouth on sour candy.
And then he disappeared.
That's what Ender's Game was about, right? That was the plot of Ender's Game. Am I misremembering that?
No, that's how
that's
went.
All I remember.
Okay.
It's just one page. It's like here's Orson Scott Card's method to eating sour candy. Just letting y'all know it's possible. And no mouth just burning.
Ender like puts a piece of sour candy in his mouth. He's like, oh, this is pretty good actually. I think I'll stay on Earth, not go to space school.
Yep. And then it ends. And it's great.
The end.
Is it Orson Scott Card that's a huge fan of Earthworm Jim, or like vice versa? I mean, like, the creative Earthworm Jim really loves Orson Scott Card.
Whoa, what?
I have no idea.
Because I remember people were like, dude, I love Earthworm Jim, and they're like, yo, that guy's mad problematic, and I'm like, what? That guy was a person? I thought it was the 90s. I didn't know the creators talked about anything else. How do you screw up Earthworm Jim?
Be awful, apparently.
Be on the internet.
So that was depressing, but then I'm like, well, never heard anything problematic about the creator of Sonic the Hedgehog, so looks like the blue guy wins again.
You're good.
Stan, thanks for spending some time with us tonight.
Steph, Dom, thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yes, it's
absolutely. This was very fun.
It's been a pleasure. If the listeners are craving more, or they want to see your comics or anything like that, where should they go on the internet to find you and your stuff?
Come visit me at my website on www.snakewife.com. And that'll give you the guide to all my comics and where you can find me on the old interwebs.
Excellent. Nice. That's great. So yeah, and that'll be in the show notes as well. So definitely give Stan a look.
Get all those links.
And which one of us should kick the social media biz, Steph?
I got it.
Crush it, I got you. You got it.
Got it? Okay. It's got my hype man. We're gonna do
go,
this.
Steph, go.
You can do this.
So if you wanna find us on the internet, you can listen to our podcast through your browser, like some people do. A lot of people do.
In Japan.
For some reason. We're big in Japan. By going to characterreveal.simplecast.fm. You can find us also on all of the various podcast networks and catchers. If you listen to us on iTunes, drop us a review or a rating. That'd be fab.
Five stars.
You can find us on Twitter at CharacterRev. You can find us on Facebook by looking for Character Reveal. You can find us on Instagram by looking for Character Reveal. You can find me and Dom various places on the internet as well. Dom everywhere as Brother Dom, me on Twitter at Captain Steph, on Tumblr at The Snow Queer, on Instagram at Hella Steph. I do not have the branding that Dom does and never will.
The brand is strong. Okay, baby, all day.
And if you want to support us on Patreon, you can do that too by going to Character Reveal or patreon.com/character reveal. That would be fab. And that's about it, right?
I think that's all the social media biz. So listeners, thank you once again for hanging out with us, and we want to extend the largest gratitude out to Stan. Thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight.
Thank you all. You are both delights.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you. you're the goat. #goat, greatest of all time, all day. And this has been another episode of Character Reveal. We bring the laughs, we bring the guests, everything you'd ever want. So, thanks again, and until next time, see you later.
Bye.
Bye.
You caught me
mid-stretch. I watched that wave, and I was like...